Today's Amud for Chazara is Ma'id Katan Vava Min Aleph. We're holding on Vava Min Aleph, seven lines from the top, Amar Rav Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Matzah Eve Mitziyenes Tachteha Tameh. If a person sees a stone that's marked off, so he has to assume that it's marked off, it's seen for a kever, that there's someone buried underneath, and therefore underneath the stone is Tameh. Shtayim, if he sees two stones that are marked off, so is it two separate mesim? Is it one mesim that's between the two stones? Says Rav Yehuda, Emye Shid Beinayen, Beinayen Tameh. If he sees that there's some marking that's going between the stones, so then he has to assume it's one mesim and the whole entire area from one stone to the other is Tameh. V'mein Shid Beinayen, however, if he sees that there's no marking between the stones, so then Beinayen Tar, so then he could assume that the area between the two stones is Tar, and it's two separate mesim, one buried underneath each stone, and only each individual stone is Tameh, but the area between is Tar. Now ask the Gemara, is this really true what Rav Yehuda said, that if you don't see Sid Beinayim, so then you're allowed to assume that it's two separate mesim in the area between the two stones is tar? Va'afel gav dulek u'chayresh, even though it wasn't plowed over? Va'atanya, but we learned in the Braisa, that matza evan achas mitsuyanas, mamish this case, if you see one stone that's marked off, so then tachteha tameh, so then underneath that stone is tameh. Shtayim, if you see two stones that are marked off, so it depends. Im yesh chayresh beinayim, beinayim tar. If you see that it was plowed between the two stones, so then you could assume that that area between the two stones is tar. Ve'em lav, however, if you don't see that the area between the two stones was plowed over, so then b'nei and tameh, so then the area between the two stones is tameh. So you see from this braisa, you see from this tesefta, that it's only if you see that the area between the two stones is plowed, that's when you could assume that it's tar. But if you don't see that the area is plowed, so then you have to assume that no, that there's tumah over there, and that's a kash on Rav Yehuda. You can't argue on a tesefta. So says the Gemara, then no, the case of the tesefta is different. Amar Papa Hacha over here in the tesefta, it's kesha asid shafuch al reshehen umeruda lekanu lekan. It's not just that you have sid that's on top of the rocks, but it's also going off to the sides of each rock towards the middle, and that's why it's lending you to assume that there's tumah between the two stones. And then, yiku chayrish b'neyan b'neyan tar. And that's why it's only if you see that it was plowed in between the two stones, so then the area between the two stones is tar. The Amer Mechmas Chayreshu de Ikbal, and we'll say that, what about the fact that it's marked off between the two stones? Yeah, really it was only marked off on top of the stone, just when the person was plowing between the two stones, so some of the markings came off and went in between. However, V'loi, if you see that it was not plowed in between the two stones, so then, said the Beini Beinihu, then you know that the marking was placed intentionally between the two stones, the Tameh, and the area between the two stones is Tameh. So the Braisa, the Tesefta, was talking about a specific instance where you see that there's a marking that's going between the stones. That's why you need it to be that it was plowed in order for the area between the two stones to be tar. Rabbi Yehuda spoke about a case where you did not see any markings between the two stones, and in that case, and even if there's no plowing, even if you don't see that they plow between the two stones, you're allowed to assume that the area between the two stones is tar, and it's only underneath the two rocks is two separate mesim, and there's tumah. Now says the Gemara, similar halacha, Amar Rav Asi, Meitzarech and Metzuyan, if you have a field, and one border of the field is marked off, so who Tameh v'chol asa dekula tahira? That border is Tameh, the rest of the field is Tar. Also Shnayim, if two borders are marked off, Heim Tameim v'chol asa dekula tahira, underneath the borders is Tameh, but the rest of the field is Tar. Shleisha, same idea, Heim Tameim v'chol asa dekula tahira. Arba, however, once all four borders of the field are marked off, so it's completely surrounded by Sid, so then it's the opposite. So then Hain Tahirin, so then by the borders themselves it's Tar, V'chol Asa Dekula Tameah, but the rest of the field is Tameh. Underneath the border is Tar, because like we mentioned in the previous Tamad, you don't mark off a grave when you already get to the Tumah, you do it before you get to the Tumah. So therefore, underneath the markings, that's Tar, but the rest of the field is all going to be Tameh. The Amamar, now why do we assume that the rest of the field is Tameh? Maybe the Tumah is a distance away, is some relative distance away from the borders. How do you know it's right next to the borders? Says the Gemara, the Amamar. Because Mar said, we had on the previous Amud, that Ein Marchik and Siyam Yimakim Tumah Shel Lahav Sedes Eretz Yisrael. Now you're not supposed to make the markings far away. So if you see that the markings are all along the border, the maze must be right inside over there, not far away. It must be very close by, because you're not supposed to distance the markings away from the maze. We said on that on Chol HaMoed, so they would go out, and if someone had kilayim, they would uproot the kilayim from their fields. Now, ask the Gemara of Aklayim b'Chol HaShomayid Nafkinon. Is that really true that they only went out on Chol HaMoed? Presumably, Chol HaMoed Pesach, once things were growing, they went out already. They only went out on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Or Minu, I'll ask you a stira. The Mishnah in Shkalim says Be'achad ba'Adar Mashmin al Shkalim. It says they would announce to everyone, get ready to bring your machzor shekel. They would announce that on Rosh Chodesh Adar, and also al kilayim. They would warn people to make sure that they don't have any kilayim growing in their fields. And then, b'chamisha asar bay, on the 15th of Adar, so kairin asa megillah b'krachim, in the krachim they read the megillah on that day, v'yoytz and l'kavetz asadrachim, and everyone would go, and they would try to take away the thorns from the roads to keep them safe, v'lusachin have arachayvais to fix the roads, and the mikvais, and to measure the mikvais, v'ayz and kol tzarkei rabim, they would do all sorts of tzarkei rabim, u'metzainin asa kvaris, v'yoytz and afa kilayim, and it says they would be mitzayin the kfaris, and they were v'yaitzin al the kilayim, that they went out for kilayim already on the 15th of Adar. So how could our Mishnah say that they only did this on Chol HaMoed? Chol HaMoed, let's say, is Nisan, middle of Nisan. Here in the Mishnah in Shkalim, it's clear that they did this already in Adar. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi, Bar Chanina. They each said their own teretz. We don't know who said what. But Chad Amar, one of them answered, Kam be'bakir, Kam be'afil. There's early sprouters, and there's later sprouters. V'chadomer kam bizraim kam birakos. That zraim, in a general sense, zraim are all early sprouters, and yirakos are all later sprouters. But so either way, it's the same idea that the Mishnah in Shkalim, which says that they would go out on the 15th of Adar, that's for the early sprouters, and that which our Mishnah says that they would go out on Chol HaMoed, that's because sometimes you have late sprouters, and that's why they went out again on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now ask the Gemara. Says the Gemara that Amr Avasi Amr Yechlan Leishanu Al Shein Nitzanikar Avon Nitzanikar Yaitzin Aleim. This they would wait until Pesach as only if it wasn't obvious that there was that the kilayim had sprouted already. But if it was Nitzanikar, if it was obvious that it sprouted, so then Yaitzin Aleim, then they would go out even earlier. Now ask the Gemara Maishna Bechul Shomayid Nafkinon. It's Maishna from our Mishnah that they like Dafka went out on Chol HaMoed, meaning if they were going out just because of the late sprouters, so go out Erev Pesach, 2 days before Pesach. 3 days before Pesach, punked exactly on Chol HaMoed, that's when they went out. It seems like there was something specific about why they went out on Chol HaMoed. So what's the reason for this? Why did they go out dafka on Chol HaMoed? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Mishum Shechar Pe'ula D'Maizel Gabon. Because you could get cheaper laborers at that time because people were off of work. You know, take off of work for Chol HaMoed. You know, a lot of work. And therefore, being that the laborers were cheaper, so that's why they dafka did this on Chol HaMoed Pesach and not earlier. Now ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Zivi Tamer Misharshia. There says the Gemara that Amar Rav Zivi should be Tamer Misharshia, that Shmami no. You see from here that Ki Avinan Lu Schar Bitrumas Alishka Yavinan Lu. You see that when Bezdin, when they paid someone to work for them, they pay them from Hektish, from the Trumas Alishka. What's the Raya? Disal Kadaitoch Bididhu, if you will tell me that the Balakalayim, that they themselves, the one who owns the field, they're the ones who pay the laborers. So Yavinan Lu if you'll think that they give their own money, the owners of the fields pay for the worker to uproot their kliyim. So then, my nafkulon minayu kol kamu debo liten luhu. So then, why would it make a difference to us the fact that it might be expensive? This person's an ivory avera. He planted kliyim in his field. So whatever it costs for him to get rid of it, he should have to get rid of it. It must be that who's the one who pays these workers? It must be it's Hektish that pays the workers, and that's why we dafka wait till Chol HaMoed Pesach, because that's when you'll have cheaper laborers. Now, v'ad kamo, how much kliyim has to be growing in the field that now they have a chiyuv to get rid of the kliyim? Says the Gemara, kaisas shaninu, with that which we learned, kol sa sheyesh ba reiva zera miminachir yemai. If it's a 1-24 proportion ratio, so that's when you have to already be mamai. Now ask the Gemara. So all Bezdin would do, they would send out the Shluchim, and the Shluchim would just uproot the Kalayim, they would just be memayed it. Is that really true? V'atanibu, we learned in the Braisa, that Eskinu Shiyahu Mafkirin Kol HaSadakulo. That when the Shluchim Bezdin saw Kalayim, they would make everything growing in the field, they would make all the produce kalayim. They would make it all hefker, and they so you see, not that they would uproot it. They would just make the whole field hefker. Says the Gemara, like kasha kaidem takana kana acher takana. There was a process originally kaidem takana, so all they would do is just be mamayit. Eventually, they went ahead and they actually were mafker everything. So what's the reason for this process? The Tani would learn to the Braisa that Brishayna Hayaikrin. Originally, when the Shluchi Bezdin would get to someone's field, they would see Kalayim, so they would just uproot it. Umashlich lefnei behemton, and they would give it to their animals to eat. Vayubali batim smeichim simcha shtei simachis. And the Balabatim used to have two reasons to be happy for this. Achashim and achshin lehem, so they say. One is that they were getting rid of some of the extra produce in their fields, so now we'll make the things that are still there grow better. It needed to be pruned, and so now, or weeded, and now these shulchi bezdim were doing that for free. So that's one thing that made them happy. Vayachashim ashlich lefnei behemton, and also because now their animals were getting fed. So it was a double win. So they had no reason to stop. Then they made a new takana that they would uproot the kalayim and they would just throw it on the streets for anyone to come and take. However, the owner still had the simcha gedayla. Why was that? Because granted, you don't have the second thing anymore. You don't have the fact that now their animals were getting fed. However, they still had the first benefit, the fact that the shulchei bezdin for free were just being menachish their fields. They were pruning it. Says the Gemara, "Skinu shiu mafkirin kol asadakula." So that's when they made the final stage of the takana, was that they said if they find kalayim in someone's field, they're going to be mafkir the entire field. That would get people to stop doing this. Akapanim linyanenu. We had asked Akasha that our Mishnah says that from the Braisa it says that they would only be memayit it, they would just uproot it, and we learned that they didn't uproot it, they were mafkir the whole field. It kan kaidem takana kan la'achet takana.